I guess if I were to give the State of the Union of the Church address today, I would probably just say, Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. John the Apostle, when he got to see into heaven, he saw streets paved with gold. And I thought to myself, sounds like gold is a pretty common substance in heaven. And the fact that gold is what everybody is walking around on suggests that it's not that big a deal for God. And maybe it's not even valued highly either. And I thought to myself, I wanted to ask the question, what is it that God values? What is it that gets him motivated and excited? And we don't have to guess because he really tells us it's humanity. He's excited about you today. He's excited that you're in his house. He's excited that you've come here to worship. He's excited that you've come here to sing and give him the glory for all he does for us. I have 4 points today about humanity. One, human life has value because we are made in God's image. God made us unique in our image. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, capital U, capital O, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish and of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Praise God. The previous chapters, or the previous verses of the chapter 1, talks about the variety of animals that God placed in his creation. To none of the animals did God breathe and breed life or make them in his image. God made us different, male and female. 1:27, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So both genders were needed in order to fulfill the plan that God had for them. Producing children within Adam and Eve was that infinite genetic diversity necessary to produce the variety that we have in humanity today. The fact that one person is of a different gender or a different variety than you doesn't diminish their value. God made us good. It was very good. Verse 31 says, God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning in the sixth day. So God's evaluation, I think, of his work was before Adam and Eve had done anything, good or bad. Value isn't determined by productivity or lack thereof. Here's an analogy for you. If you went to Walmart today or Target or whatever to buy a picture frame, that frame would probably be sold with a valueless picture displayed in it. The point of it is it just to take up the space of the frame. It really means nothing. A person will purchase the frame, take it home, put in a picture of somebody who means something to them. A relative, a friend, a special memory, Kathy, when she was 5 years old. The picture that is placed inside the new frame has value. Why? Because it is an image of a real life. Now all of a sudden that picture frame has a greater value because it has an image of real life. Now all of a sudden that picture frame has a greater value because the image it holds represents something or someone cared for. And you're listening, God, but when there's life in the womb, God has placed his image in that frame. Isn't that beautiful? Now, the frame has greater value because it bears the mark of God. A couple of chapters later in Genesis, Adam and Eve stopped being good. But they didn't lose their value. That becomes clear from the acquirement that God gave to protect it. Point number two, because human life has no value. Wait, because human life has value. Praise God for humbling me. God protects it and expects us to protect us. Please understand that. We have greater value than animals. Genesis 9:3, it says, every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. So God gave Adam and Eve, by extension, all humanity, the responsibility of tending the garden and ruling over and protecting the animals. But when you think about Noah, when he got off that boat, animals became food. God placed animals on a lower level than the value of humans. God says we can kill animals. He says something different about humans. We do not have greater value than one another. Genesis 9:6, which Nate so graciously said in our community group today, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So these words came to Noah right after he got off that boat, having survived a flood that killed approximately probably 99.90% of humanity. So God sent that flood because the overwhelming evil that was in the world and the violence that manifested that evil. Genesis 6:11 through 13 says, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked over the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And then God said to Noah, the end of flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them on the earth. It would appear that because of their actions, God didn't really value humanity anymore. That at that point, he had thrown humanity under the boat into the refuge pile. And that's what you do with trash. Things that have no value to you. But two facts communicate that God did value humanity. The first was God rescued humanity through Noah and the boat that he built. And the second is that God says that every man's life is to be protected. No man had the right to determine whether another man should die. God also said that no man had the right to determine when there was enough of us. We do not diminish value of humanity through multiplication. In Genesis 9:7, as for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply it. So when you think about it, humans really determine value in weird ways. Age always plays a factor, a huge factor, but its role can be confusing. In some cases, old is considered more valuable. Antiques, paintings, coins, and new life has little value. In other cases, new is considered more valuable. New car, new clothes, and age has less value. People. The rarer something it seems, the more valuable it becomes. If an animal is about to become extinct, more effort and expense is exerted to preserve it than it's used to save a human baby from abortion. The difference is that we have a lot of babies and only a few humpback whales. But thankfully, God assesses value by a different system than humanity does and requires that all humanity, no matter how many there are, must be protected. Must be protected. When I look up how much a life is worth today in an abortion clinic, $450. an abortion will start out at $450. And I looked up the lady in charge of all this thing called Planned Parenthood, Cecilia Richards. She has won an awards, 2010 National Prize for Creative Citizenship. In 2012, Cecilia Richards was Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World. And that grieves me, and it's got to grieve God. It has to grieve God. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian, I was reading an article, and I forget the newspaper it was in or the magazine it was in. It was from Focus on the Family, and there was a hot day in New York City, and there was a truck going down the road. And this is back in, I guess, the 70s. And the truck came to a complete stop because his car cut across and this barrel fell out of the back of the truck and kids were walking across and it was baby parts they were walking on that day. And I read that and my heart just sank. And I've always had a passion for people to understand that life is human. In 2014, the highest percentages of pregnancies were aborted in the District of Columbia, 38%. In New York, 33%. In New Jersey, 30%. In 2014, approximately 30% of all pregnancies in New York City, excluding spontaneous miscarriages, ended in abortion. So that's like over one out of every three kids in New York are aborted. In the African-American community, they say in New York, 70% of the babies are aborted. I hate bringing those statistics up, but they're just facts and they're just true. God created humanity. He wants us to protect it. I looked up the salary of Cecilia Richards, $600,000 a year she's paid. She had a speech a couple weeks ago, and that she said Planned Parenthood has really saved lives. And I don't know what planet she's living on, and I don't know what she's smoking. But it's very sad. But I guess I'm supposed to tell you today that God created human life. And our third point today is when human life is protected, it can accomplish its God-designed purpose. Think about that. God beautifully purposed our bodies. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 said, "For you were formed in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows very well." Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're not worth anything. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that, you know, God made a mistake, that he made you, because he didn't. So many times as you're growing up, especially teenagers, you're going to start asking this question, what is my purpose here? Why am I here? Because purpose gives us value. And I thought about that defibrillator we have in the fellowship hall that Covenant Christian Academy and us went together and paid for that, because it set us back about $1,000. But to a person who's having a heart attack, it's invaluable having that defibrillator in there. And God designed our bodies for an invaluable purpose too, and that's to honor him. So whenever we use our bodies for less honorable purposes, it pains him. We take what is valuable and we make it as if it was common. And I thought to myself, do you want to be treated like mama's china or like a paper plate? One gets protected and proudly displayed, and the other one gets used and discarded. But God beautifully purposed our days. He says in verse 15 and 16 of Psalm 139, "My frame Isn't it cool? Frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and secretly wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when it was yet there was not one of them. And God not only laid out a body for you, He laid a pathway for you to follow, for us to follow. In one translation, the second half of verse 16 says, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Isn't that beautiful? That's how God favors humanity and loves humanity. Most things that you value, you have a plan for. And God has a plan for us. And I'm telling you, this is what I think it is. All the studying I've done in the scriptures, all the years that I've tried to live out my life and get this word of God inside of me, His plan for us is to serve Him. His plan for us is to find joy in doing so. And yeah, there's going to be those times when you're rebellious. There's going to be times where you say, I don't like church, or I don't want to come to church, or I don't want anything to do with God. That's just a heart problem. That's just a growing problem that you have to come to grips with, that God created you to worship Him and make a difference for Him. And I thought to myself, maybe write these five things on the front of your bulletin, because there's a space there. Write worship. Right fellowship. These are important things. Maybe I'm still supposed to give a thing about the church, how the church stands right now. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry and evangelism. Those are the five things that God created the church for. And if you think about worship and you think about fellowship, there's the gathering that we talk about. We keep talking about gathering and growing and going. When you think about worship and you think about fellowship, that's our gathering. When you think about discipleship, that's our growing. When you think about ministry, that's taking the gifts that God has given you and you're putting them to use for His glory, and that becomes ministry. That's where you grow. And then going is at evangelism. So those are the five things that a church should constantly be doing. But when you think about it, as believers, that's us. That's what we should be doing. Worshiping. Fellowshipping. That's why we're having these lunches once a month, so we can fellowship with one another. We can have fun and learn about each other. And get together and pray for one another. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about you. Maybe thoughts like, maybe that would make you shudder. And I can't blame them. Maybe it's a broken marriage. I can't blame them for leaving. I'd leave me if I could. Who would you want to be around me? God would. When God thinks about you, He thinks beautiful thoughts. Because He sees the you that you will become with His help. Think about it. When God thinks about you, He thinks beautiful thoughts because He sees the you that you will become with His help. But you got to ask for it. You know, it says, all who received Him, to those who believed in Him, He gave a right to become children of God. So if you think church is not for you, or you don't want to spend time in church, repent, man. Get your heart right with God. Ask Him to be a part of your life, and He'll start that process of what He created you to be. Sometimes I think I look at God as like a new parent when I saw that video that just can't help hovering over the crib and watching their new child breathe. And God has a purpose for your spirit, and it is to be with Him. To spend time with Him. In fact, He wants you so much. He wants to be around you permanently that He purchased your body as His home for His home. the last point. In order for us to fulfill our purpose, God paid the ultimate price. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? He created you. He gave you your body. He gave you your mind. He gave you your life, your thoughts. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've had from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And for those of you that are sitting here who know Christ as your Savior, and you think back to when you didn't know Him or He wasn't a part of your life, you think to yourself, how in the world did I make it? It's only because of God. But then when you come to that point in your life where Jesus is calling, like they sang today, and you ask Him to come into your life, and the Word of God says that they actually make their home within your heart, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit makes their home within your heart, and then the Holy Spirit takes the things of God and makes them known to you, should you choose to want Him? Should you choose to spend time with Him? Should you choose to fellowship with one another and get into the Word with one another? Sometimes I think people don't go to Bible studies because God is just whispering in their ear, you don't know anything. They're going to laugh at you. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. I have so much I want to learn. And I want not to be a stumbling block for anybody. So we're going to love you no matter where you are in your walk with God. We're going to love you no matter whether you had an abortion in your life, whether you cursed God in your life, whether you've been divorced, whether you were hooked on drugs or whatever. We're going to love you and passionately do our best to get you plugged in so you can learn about this and become free. And live a life where, Peter says, joy inexpressible and full of glory. There's times where I can't even express what God is doing in my heart because I'm just filled with thankfulness. I can't wait to come here in the morning to be here just to sit at my desk, who used to be Jim Savior's desk, which is anointed, by the way. And I just can't wait to get in the Word because I know He wants me to prepare myself to share with you the things that God wants you to know. And He wants you to know today that He created you and He loves you and He wants to have a relationship with you. When we were doing communion today and I saw these phones out, I'm thinking, is somebody asking, is there an app to take communion, man? Can I push on an app? How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awoke, I am still with you. So in order for us to fulfill our purpose, God paid the ultimate price. God purchased us for His home, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And think about it this way. If you go to purchase a home, and because of your budget, you might have to purchase one that needs a lot of work because you can get it for a cheaper price. And maybe that's the category that you would put yourself in today. Maybe you have asked, who would want to live in this body? And you probably heard of those, and I've seen it. I've sat down with Kathy looking at the house flippers and purchasing the house that had been foreclosed, trashed and otherwise discarded for the purpose of remodeling and selling them. And these people have a vision. They can look past all the dirt and all the holes in the walls and the water spots on the ceiling. And we have a few here in the building. And we can see a beautiful finished product. And there are at least two differences between them and God. One, He doesn't intend on selling you when He's done with you. He wants to move in. And not when all the remodeling is complete, but right now, today, He wants to move inside of your heart and start remodeling all the stuff and all the mess and all the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the hatred and all that stuff. He wants to move in right now in the midst of all the mess. And two, he's not doing this for his own benefit, but for yours. But surely God must get something out of it. And in the spirit of full disclosure this morning, that must be admitted. He does receive something for doing all those things in you. Glory. He receives much deserved glory because God purchased us for his glory. And again, you might ask, how can God receive glory through my life? It happens the same way for him that it does for one of the house flippers. You've probably seen the shows, Property Brothers, Flip or Flop, This Old House, Love It or List It. We've seen them all, Kathy. But when the families think about it, sometimes I like to skip the middle of the show and just turn it on at the end. When the families come back in and see the work that has been done, it's always the same shock, praise, thanks, all. Now do you understand how God can get the glory? It's not through what you are right now. It's through what he, by his power, his grace, his wisdom, his love, is going to make out of you. You. He loves you that much. And he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be everything to you. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before the world was even here, he chose us in him. I can't even, you know, explain that. It's incredible that we, and then he gives a reason, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us and adopted us as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us when he beloved. If the band could come forward, because I feel like worship might be different now. I feel like some people might even sing more earnestly now to hear these words. Because when the universe sees the finished product, all that they will be able to do is to clap their hands to praise the Almighty God. For it is then that they will see the value didn't really rest in us, but in the one who created, protected, and purposed and fixed us. Got a little story in closing. On Monday, May 11th, 2015, more money was paid for an auction for a single piece of artwork than ever previously. $179.4 million was paid for a picture. I think it was a picture of Bobby Everton. It was given to buy a Picasso, and I can't pronounce the thing. I looked the picture up. I didn't want to show it. The previous owner had purchased it for $31.9 million. That's quite an increase in value. Most people, obviously not art connoisseurs, would look and wonder if their kindergarten could take art and let them get that hefty sum. Many would expect to find something like it in a garage sale for a buck. I guess it takes someone with a certain eye to be able to see the beauty where others just see a jumbled mess. It has been said that after all, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So what do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see when you look at the person next to you in their cubicle at work? Maybe you don't see much, but understand this. Value is not determined by intrinsic worth, but by what someone is willing to pay. Think about it. And when you were in the auction block, God bid his only son, I'd say that makes you the highest price and most valuable item forever. Because God created you. Father, I just give you the glory for your word. As the ushers come forward, Father, we're going to take our offering today. But Father, I just want to close in worship. I want to close in exciting worship that wants nothing else but to say, thank you for creating us, Lord. Thank you for giving us our bodies, Lord. And I know you want to, we need to invite you in because it's a choice. We have to choose to invite you in so you can start doing some of the remodeling, maybe of our character, maybe with forgiveness, maybe with love, maybe with kindness, maybe with joy. Maybe there's some people here that needs joy, Father. And when we allow you to come in and do the remodeling, something happens, an explosion, where the Spirit of God unites with our spirit and things start moving around. Joy starts coming in the morning. Love starts coming like we've never seen it before. Forgiveness happens. So, Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this offering. I thank you for everyone that's here today, Father. The State of the Union address for me is to be passionate for you and to lead people to know you and love you and have a desire for you, Father. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please come if you need prayer for anything.